This is the Planning Commission work session for Thursday, November 16th, 2017.
Before Gary gets started, I really want to reach out to the Planning Commission members and say that I know this is not your preference to have a work session before a hearing, but we have a lot on our plate, and we're just trying to, you know, make sure we take your time, and appreciate your willingness to hold the work session and then go into a hearing on a busy night. So thank you. Greatly appreciate that. These things are coming really fast. This one, the floodplain has an effective date for those that live in the floodplain where the insurance rate will go up. So, on out. So we want to have this meeting with you. The effective date of that is January 19th of next year. So we're doing the best we can to move this thing forward. So thank you for the indulgence. And I will talk to the chair prior to our beginning. I don't know what the turnout is going to be on the rail bill. If it's huge, we'll go first on the agenda. If not, we'll keep the agenda that we have. Thank you.
Okay, just a quick update for the work session. So we passed this out on November 2nd. So hopefully you've had a chance to review it. So just want to go over quickly what of the staff report. So we're looking at the CARA code tonight, the critical aquifer recharge area code, development code. So that's just a procedural update. Just clarifying some standards and where the map is located. And I can walk you through an example if you'd like to see that now, or we can just wait till later. So if you turn to page 3 of the code in tab 4, line 14. Yeah. Doing a procedural update, so that's an example there of what the procedural update looks like. And on line 6 of that same page, we're clarifying where the map is at. So we found out that the auditor's office does not have a copy of this map on file. So we're just changing the language to reflect where we find the map located. Are there any other questions with that piece of it? Okay. And then the second part of this, like Oliver said, is updating our flood insurance rate map, the firm map, which is in our flood hazard ordinance. So FEMA came out with a new study that created an updated map for the Washougal area and the Little Washougal River. So all we're doing is adopting the map to reflect that the new flood insurance study is the code we're using. What it looks like. So this new flood insurance study adopts best available science. So I put together a PowerPoint presentation for the board. I can show it to you guys too if you're interested in seeing it. It's kind of neat. It just shows you where the elevation changes are at, which is why they reevaluated the flood elevation. So they've noticed a few knolls, a few hills were in the floodplain, so they realized, well, the water's not going to travel up. Yes?
Go ahead and show the people.
Okay.
We have some time.
I think we have some time. on the left is the existing floodplain. Over here is where we want to focus at. See, there's a, you see that contours on there? So there's a hill right there. And on the updated flood zone, they took away this portion of the flood zones. Which makes sense. So these are just examples of what they've done. And then for the Little Washougal, again, there's some elevation changes back over here. If you look over the map, on the right, the way the river goes, here's the bend right here. There's a knoll right here. So they've taken out the floodplain right there. So we've gone to the Development Engineering Advisory Board and shared them this information, and they were okay with it. No one had any comments or concerns with any of these updates. And the board was fine with it. Here we are tonight for the work session. And again, I apologize. I was apologizing for having a work session and a hearing on the same day. I think we're ready for the hearing.
So in the map discussion, I think that was what you pointed out on page 3, where it said conditions that are different between the map and the ground, or something like that. On-site conditions shall supersede. So if there is a difference of opinion about those two conditions, how is that resolved, and what does it mean for any potential development?
Well, so the map uses GIS. So if GIS has an error in the map that they show, and on-site conditions are different than the on-site conditions would prevail, that would be verified through a field visit.
So would it be that we're saying in some places that if a person comes forward and says, my property's not really in a flood zone, even though the map shows it to be in a flood zone, and we agree with that, then we take them out?
Well, so there is a process that FEMA has. They have a handy little guidebook right here. So they have a process called a letter of map change, which a property owner can do online. So they can request online to have a letter of map change to say my property is not in a floodplain, and they can review it and agree to it that way. So I've seen that done. And there's the other one is a LOMA, a letter of map amendment. It's a revision, so that's how it works. The property owners would initiate these requests.
Isn't there an implication that if they're considered to be in the floodplain, then they have to take extra insurance or required?
They would have to get insurance, flood insurance for it if they're in the floodplain. But if they're out, they wouldn't have to.
Okay.
Yes.
I see in this case the floodplain designation has actually been significantly decreased. Is that pretty typical of these changes, or is this luck of the draw here on this one?
I guess it's just luck of the draw. This is the first time I've seen one of these changes. So I don't have a big background in these changes.
The floodplain's designation, are they 25, 50, 100? What are the designations attached to the floodplain?
100-year.
100-year?
100-year floodplain.
Okay.
And if I may add, there are some instances, depending on the amount of rainfall, some of you are aware that there was significant flooding in Clark County in the 1996 flood, and on the subsequent years, so FEMA will take a look at that. In some cases, use that information, that's why we call it best available information, use that information to make changes to the floodplain map. And, you know, we may go 50 years, 100 years, nothing happened, and it may happen sooner. So I don't want to bring in climate change and other factors, but that's really how this has worked. And as other conditions that Gary indicated, a property owner can make a request, but the burden is going to be on the property owner to do some studies or size of studies that warrant FEMA to their own scientists to look at that information and then use that to also make changes. But there are options for property owners to make a request to FEMA to consider, but that's how it is done. And then, of course, in the county, we have someone designated as a flood engineer, Public Works, that looked at this, you know, as well, and review applications that come in, and we issue permits based on the information that we have. And we know that the, title companies and insurance companies also look at this map and use it in adjusting the clause that requires flood insurance and what the rate will be. So that's my experience with how this is done.
And FEMA bases this on a 1% chance of happening in 100 years.
Do people get notification of the change?
They have. So Public Works has been out with FEMA. So April 26th, they went out to Washougal. And they Public Works sent out about 4,500 letters, mailings to all the affected property owners in the area. Nobody had any. Nobody contested the change. So did the open house. They sent out the property owner mailings. We're ready for hearing. All right. We'll see you in 6:30.
No, I don't.